If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke, the 18th chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 35 through 43. Last week we started a series that leads us up to and through Easter called Going Up to Jerusalem with Jesus. And we saw last week that Jesus started to Jerusalem back in Luke chapter 9. But in chapter 18, where we picked up the story, we are going along with him. And in this passage, as we read it, we will see that the crowds are also going with us. So first it was Jesus said, I'm going up to Jerusalem. Then he said, we're going up to Jerusalem. And now as we gather, get to the story this morning, the crowds are also going up to Jerusalem. So look at Luke 18, 35 through 43. As I read it, I'll remind you that this is the Word of God. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They said to him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out saying, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Immediately, he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. When all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Let's pray. Father, we're going up to Jerusalem with Jesus. As I said, this is a continuation of the journey that Jesus started in chapter 9. But now we realize that there was something else going on here. It was Passover, and the pilgrims were making their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus joined with them and with the crowd going up to Jerusalem. But on his way, something wonderful happened. Something that AJ just sang about, something that the first song we sang so beautifully put, we have received our sight through Jesus, and that's what happened to this man. So Lord, open our eyes, our hearts, our minds to receive your truth, and we'll thank you for it. Amen. As long as the temple stood, and the Jews were allowed to celebrate their services there, the Passover festival drew joyous crowds. Every spring, the cry rang out, We're going up to Jerusalem. It resounded in all the towns and villages of the Holy Land. We're going up to Jerusalem. When Jesus went to the festival with his parents as a 12-year-old boy, they undoubtedly told him, We are going up to Jerusalem. While there, the adolescent Jesus confounded the scholars. He knew the law. He knew the prophets. He knew the writings. He knew them maybe better than they did. In our text, as he's going up to Jerusalem for the last time, the next time he comes, he won't be going up. He'll be coming down. But as he is going up this time, he knows what the prophets have foretold awaits him. The crowds going up to Jerusalem did not know this. The crowds going up to Jerusalem did not know this. And his disciples, who were going up to Jerusalem with him, did not understand it. He would carry this burden alone. Jesus was on a mission. The mission would be accomplished. Last week we looked at verses 31 through 34. Let me reread that. Luke 18:31. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which were written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And the third day he will rise again." But his disciples understood none of these things. And the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. But notice, they will be accomplished, verse 31. He will be handed over. He will be mocked. They will kill him, and he will rise again. Jesus' mission would be accomplished. It was a mission that began before the foundation of the world. It is the most important rescue mission ever. The salvation of his people from their sins. Nothing would keep him from his appointment at the cross. But first, the pilgrimage took them through Jericho. From here, Jerusalem was about a 6-hour walk. He was so close. His hour had come. "We're going up to Jerusalem," rang joyfully in the pilgrims' hearts. Not every voice was joyous that day. For in the crowd, another voice rang out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Some of us old timers will remember the hymn. The words went like this. "One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee." While demonstrating the dignity and value of all people, Jesus also provides us with a wonderful picture of salvation. While everyone else saw an interruption, Jesus saw a person made in God's image. Look at verse 35. "As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. There was something unique about this crowd. Okay? They told him, verse 37, that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me. We see here a person who needs help. A person who needs help. We are familiar with Jericho. If you go back to chapter 10, we're familiar with Jericho because of Jesus' story about the Good Samaritan. Verse 30. And Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead." Verse 33. "But a Samaritan who was on the journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion." So again, associated with Jericho is a man in need, and the Good Samaritan had compassion on him. And at the risk of his own safety and at the expense of his own funds, he helped bandage up the man's wounds and take him to where he could get medical attention. Jesus was now in Jericho, and he saw a man who also needed help. We can't imagine what it was like for a person with a disability in the first century. There were no social safety nets. There was no government assistance. If you had family, that was the most you could hope for. There certainly wasn't any ADA. There wasn't any Disability Act that made places accessible to handicapped people, to blind people. This man was doing the only thing he could do to survive. He was begging. And he was used to begging, no doubt, on the side of the road, leading into Jerusalem, into Jericho, especially during every spring during the annual pilgrimages up to Jerusalem for Passover. He knew where to sit because he knew there'd be a lot of people going by. But something apparently was different about this particular crowd. He knew something was different. Verse 36. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. He knew why the crowd would be going by. That's why he's sitting there. But there was something unique about this crowd. And he was used to, no doubt, being ignored. Right? As people walked by, you know how it is. They would ignore him as he sat there begging, crying out for help, for alms. He was used to being ignored. But this time, he would not be ignored. He knew there was something different. Verse 39. Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. Shut up. Jesus is passing by. Be quiet. But he called out saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He wouldn't be quiet. We need to see ourselves as this man in this story. We all suffer the effects of sin. We are all broken image bearers. We are created in God's image. We carry the image of God. But we all have marks of the brokenness that sin creates. This man, he was blind. But we all need healing to have our eyes opened to be saved. Look at verse 40. Jesus stopped and commanded that it be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. When all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. All right, so Jesus is on this mission. He has set his face to Jerusalem. He's going to accomplish what the prophets foretold. He knows what awaits him. So as he's traveling along, there appears to be an interruption. This man is yelling out his name. And Jesus stops and says, "Who is that? Bring him here." But saving this man wasn't an interruption to Jesus' mission. It was Jesus' mission. Why is he going up to Jerusalem? To save us. To save us. This wasn't an interruption to what Jesus was doing. This is why he was doing it. In this brief passage, we see so many different titles and descriptions of who Jesus was. If you remember back in verse 31, he told the disciples, "All things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished." That, of course, emphasizes both his humanity, but also his deity. So there he's called the Son of Man. You go to chapter 19, verse 10, and we find this. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So Jesus uses that title, the Son of Man, because he is right now fulfilling his purpose. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And the blind man, who the other gospel writers tell us is Bartimaeus needed saved. And that's what Jesus came for, to seek and to save those who were lost. So this is not an interruption to his journey, as the crowd thought it was. This is why he was going on the journey. But notice this man's faith. Verse 37. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. So there's another descriptor of Jesus. This is Jesus who was born in Nazareth or from Nazareth. They said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Verse 38, and he called out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." They said, "Hey, this is Jesus from Nazareth. But he knew who Jesus truly was. He is the Son of David. This is a messianic title. The word Messiah means anointed one. He recognized Jesus as divine. In fact, verse 41, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. He recognized Jesus as Lord. He recognized Jesus as the Son of David. He recognized Jesus was the Son of Man, that Jesus was from Nazareth. But he, in faith, believed that Jesus was the Son of David, the Messiah, the coming one. In fact, he believed he was Lord. He was God in the flesh. And in response to that, Jesus said, verse 42, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. Now, keep your hand here. Go to chapter 7, verse 50. Because Jesus used this phrase before. But the word is that's used here is the same word that is used in our story where Jesus said, your faith has made you well. But if you go back to chapter 7, verse 50, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. That word saved is the exact same Greek word as the word well. So salvation is being made well. Salvation is being restored to the full image of God. So you go back to Luke 18. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has saved you. How we know that his faith saved him? Well, look at verse 43. Immediately he regained his sight, but more importantly, he began following him. He began following Jesus. He joined the crowd going up to Jerusalem. This is a beautiful picture of salvation. This is a beautiful picture of salvation. The Lord saves us and we follow him up to Jerusalem. Our eyes are open. Our physical eyes and our spiritual eyes are opened. We aren't interruptions to God's plan. We are the reason Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, that which those who deserved to die, those who are bound by sin, held captive by sin. His journey up to Jerusalem should have been our journey. We should have died on that cross. We're the ones who bore the effects of sin. But Jesus saw this man in the image of God and stopped and said, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Do you see people as interruption to serving Jesus or as your service to Jesus? Do you see people as an interruption to serving Jesus or as your service to Jesus? Do people get in the way of you serving Jesus? They shouldn't. Pastors, elders, deacons, all of us. Are people a problem? Or are they the purpose? Do you see serving people as serving Jesus? Or just being in the way? This man's salvation brought glory to God. Verse 43. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him. He was glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they were glorifying God too. They gave praise to God. This man's salvation, your salvation, brings glory to God. Again, go to John chapter 9. Look at John 9, 1. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, this is a different incident. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, he would be born blind. Jesus answered, it is neither that the man sinned nor his parents, but it was that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is a day, for night is coming when no one can work. But notice, it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Regaining our sight is to display the glory of God. To be saved is to display the glory of God. Salvation is to bring God the glory. So the old hymn says, when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Have you called out to Jesus to save you? Have you called out for Jesus to save you? And if you are, if so, are you giving God the glory? Let's pray. Father, one of the most frequent pictures of both scripture and in songs writing is about having our eyes open to see the truth, to see the light, to see Jesus for who he really was. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of David. He's the Lord. He's our Savior. He came to seek and save us. It was our sins that led him to that cross. It was our sin that he came to this earth to start with. So Lord, may we first acknowledge that, yes, we're sinners. But God, may we also acknowledge that Jesus came to save sinners. So Lord, my prayer is, if there's someone here who does not believe in Jesus, has not had that encounter with Jesus, that they would seek one of us out, seek me out, or Lord, the elders, the pictures are on the back wall there. But Lord, that we could sit down and talk about faith saving them, Lord. And then Lord, for us who are believers, may we not see people as a problem, but as the very purpose that we're left here. Lord, they're not interruptions to what you're doing. It is what you're doing. So Lord, help us to keep our eyes open to their needs, I pray. Amen.